I want to share with us tonight about repenting. It's going to be a good word because it's not going to be a condemnation word. I've shared on this before, but I want to just a little bit of a revelation that I've stepped into, a little bit of different revelation on, not different, but more, I guess you could say, a little deeper revelation on repentance. And so we're going to start with Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. They're all good. Galatians chapter 5. Praise God. Man, I am just like overflowing. Woo! Filled to overflowing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That was so good. Oh, man. Galatians 5. We're going to share on ascending into the highest heights through repentance. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not entangle again with a yoke of bondage." I want you to notice what it says. It says, stand fast. Stand fast in what? Liberty. In liberty. By which, where does this liberty come from? By which Christ has made us free. Now, I've got 4 pages of notes here, so I'm going to try to not go too long. And I actually quit before I was ready. I thought we might have to make this 2 sessions, but because there was so much information, and I'm just like, God, He's just going to help me release it. Holy Spirit, help me release what's in my heart. He says, stand fast. There's something that we can stand in. There's something that we can be established in. He's come for something to, he's come to give us what? Liberty. And that liberty comes by what? Christ. By Christ, which has made us free. Because it's Christ that has made us free. Free from what? You have been called to liberty in Christ Jesus. In Christ. There is a freedom and there is a liberty that is in Christ. Let's go on to 5:13. It says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Serve one another. We have been called. I want you to see this. We've been called to liberty. You have a calling on your life. You've been called to liberty. I hear a lot of people say, "I don't know what the calling on my life is." Well, first of all, you've been called to liberty, which is in Christ Jesus. He says, don't use this liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Let's go on down to verse 16. It says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." So we've been called to liberty in Christ, and it says, don't use this liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but he says, do what? Walk in the Spirit. So to be in Christ, we have to, being in Christ means that we walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we're going to walk in a place of liberty. And flesh isn't going to have its way. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the, you know, they're contrary to each other. We see that little fight that he was talking about. But if you're led by the Spirit, then you're not under the law. Now, when I'm saying we're in To have this liberty means to be in Christ. It's in Christ that we have this liberty. It's in Christ. Verse 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And I want to look at this in Christ for a little bit here, because it's in Christ. Now, I'm not talking about Jesus the man, and I don't want you to be confused and think that I'm saying Jesus isn't the Lamb of God or, you know, isn't God or whatever. But I want us to look at what is Christ. It's not Jesus Christ is not his last name. Christ is not his last name. It's not his surname. I looked it up and the translators who wrote this, whatever, and they said Christ was like a surname. I was like, they're not getting it when they translated this. It's not his surname. Christ is. Now look what I know you guys have your own revelations, and you have the freedom to have yours, but this is what it's saying. We're not talking about Jesus the man who walked in flesh, who came down. We're talking about Jesus the Christ, who he was before he came down, the divine one, the holy one. Jesus is, the Christ is kingdom. It's the life of God. Christ is what he came to give us. It's being born of the Spirit. It's being reborn. It is the life of the Spirit. When we're talking about Christ, because sometimes when we say Christ Jesus, what people confuse it with a person, and they want to put it to a person. I'm not saying Christ isn't a person. Jesus is the person. Christ, Jesus, the Christ, is the anointing of Jesus. It is the who he was before he came. It is the divine one. It is the original origin of who he was. When we are referring to being in Christ, we're talking about kingdom life. We're talking about the Spirit of life. We're talking about the Spirit of the living God. We're talking about the presence of God. It is the fullness of who he is, his glory. It is his mind, his heart. Jesus was the firstborn of the brethren when we talk about the man. Because if you were to say, well, wait a minute, we're talking about a person here. We can say Christ is a person. But when I look at Christ, every time I see Christ or in Christ, I don't see it as Jesus, the person who walked the face of the earth. Or even, and I want you to, because we've taught so much about we're supernatural beings ourselves, we're a kinos beings. We're not human, we're not mere men. So if you want to think about it, when Jesus has now ascended into the heavens, he's no longer that human being. He is a kinos being. Jesus was the first of the brethren to go. He was the first to ascend and go. And we are to be like him. And in his, we are to be Christ-like, become like Christ. We are to be one in Christ. It is his very mind, his heart. When it says that we have the mind of Christ, it's talking about we can be one with his kingdom mindness, his one with his Spirit, one with who he is, one with his glory, one with his presence, one with his original origin before he came, and he returned back to that. I'm pulling this out here, and just grab it in your spirit. It is his very Christ is a consciousness. And that almost sounds New Agey, but we're going to get into this. But a consciousness, remember when we done the study on consciousness, we did about three different ones. Consciousness is not it's the awareness of our origin. That's what consciousness means, of where we come from. The awareness of our who we are and our origin. So when we're talking about Christ, Jesus Christ, Christ is that description of the all in all. He feels all in all. He's everything. His glory, his presence. When, you know, I think I probably overcooked that one now. Yes, he is. Christ is the I am. And God is in Christ. I should have looked that scripture up, but yes, God is even in Christ. Jesus is in Christ. We are to be in Christ. We are in Christ, but guess what? Are we conscious and aware of that? Are we conscious? When we say, are we conscious of it, do we have Christ consciousness? Not conscious, but Christ consciousness. That means do we know where our origin is from ourselves? Christ, Jesus knew. He knew that he was the Christ. And we are to be one in him. I am in you and you are in me and we are one. And we are one in the Father. Circular. Hebrews look at it as circular. Let's look at verse 16. I read that. So in other words, we'll read that again. It says, so walk in the Spirit. If we are to realize that we have been given this place of liberty, which is found being in Christ, everything that we just talked about, then we can realize that we can walk in the Spirit, that walking in the Spirit is being in Christ. And we can see how we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh if we walk in this. But when we're explaining 16 through 18, we're talking about there's two laws here. There's two things happening here. Verse 17, 18, I don't want to get ahead of myself. There are two laws. Okay, I'm already there. There are two laws that are contrary to each other. Okay, if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That's being free from liberty. If you are under a law, that means that if you break the law, then there's a penalty to be paid for it. I'm just giving a little example, such as the law of gravity. If you throw a ball up, it's going to come down. That is a law. That's a spirit. That's a physical law. Thank you. It's a physical law. an earthly law. If you go out and you murder somebody, there's a penalty to be paid for that. If you lie, you're going to reap a, you know, if you sow a lie, you're going to reap a lie. If you sow slander, you're going to reap slander. If you sow, you know, there's that law of sowing and reaping also. That, and there's also a spiritual law, sowing and reaping, but we're not going to get into all that. But if we want to look at, there's two different laws here. So let's go over to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 2 says, we're going to look at those two laws. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. So there's two laws. We have the law of the Spirit of life. And where is the Spirit of life found in? In Christ. To have the law of the Spirit of life operational in your life, you have to be in Christ. You have to be Christ conscious. And there's also the law of sin and death. But the law of the Spirit of life will make us what? Free. Give us liberty from the law of sin and death. Okay? This is that's the law that we were set free from, of course. You guys know that. So we have two laws, the spirit of flesh, the spirit and the flesh, two laws. We have the law that's in Christ, which meaning if we're in Christ, then we're inside. To be in something, you have to be inside of it. You have to be one with it. You have to be in union with it. Does that make sense? So the law of sin and death is this flesh, this earthly. So in the consciousness of the flesh, if we're in the law of sin and death, we are in the consciousness of a fleshly man. Our carnal man, our carnal nature, the corrupt nature, okay? So if you're walking in the law of sin and death, then you're in the fleshly, earthly nature, in the consciousness. So in other words, if that is ruling and reigning in your life, your consciousness is of the flesh man. Your consciousness of the law of sin and death. That is what your consciousness is of. Does that make sense? In other words, you're thinking, this is my origin. If your generational curses are overtaken, and I'm not trying to say anything bad, because this is what we're breaking free from. This is what we're walking out of. And it's going to take me a little bit to get into what I'm really wanting to share, but I want to lay a little foundation first. I'm not doing this to be like, you know, how dare. Because that's how we've always heard. That's how I've always heard. It's always been a condemnation type of message. But so if you have to have the law, sin, and death operational in your life, there is a consciousness of the flesh man, the carnal man, the corrupt nature. So in other words, you would think your consciousness, your awareness is of earthly things. Does that make sense? Your awareness is of the laws of the carnal nature. The laws of sin and death are what rule and reign in your life. Such as, if you don't eat, you're going to die. These are laws, you know, the laws of sin and death. Do something wrong, you're going to get something wrong back. You lie, you're going to get a lie back. If you live by the sword, you die by the sword. If your grandfather was an alcoholic, then you're going to be an alcoholic. Now, these are different laws that it just happens in the natural, under the law of sin and death. Generational curses, they're going to be passed down through you, it's passed down through the blood, and we've studied that, how generational curses are down our bloodline. So, there is a law. Through all of this, there's a law that governs this, and it's called the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death governs over this, over the bloodline, the curses, and all this kind of stuff. But I want us to see that there is a law of the spirit of life. There is a law of the spirit of life. Two laws. And they war against each other. It's in the consciousness of Christ. And we saw that in 8:2, Romans 8:2, it says the law of the spirit of life is in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ. It's in that very consciousness of Christ. And we can transcend this law of sin and death. Now, transcend sounds like a New Agey term too. And we're just going to break free from all this New Agey stuff, because we're just going to run with the things of God. Because the fear of going into deeper things and the mysteries of God, the fear of looking like the world and the New Agey and the mystical things or whatever, has held us back from the supernatural of God. And it's nothing more than a counterfeit, what they're doing. This is the original. And we have the right to go do these things, and they've counterfeited it. And then religion says that we can't go do that because it's satanic and it's not of God and whatever. But it's a counterfeit, because there's nothing new. The enemy's only counterfeited. He's only stole. But we can transcend, and the word transcend means rise above. And we've shared, you know, the word says, arise, shine, for the glory of the Lord. The glory speaks of the light and the illumination, the enlightenment of God. And it says that it also means to ascend. We can transcend these things. It means out of the law of sin and death. There may be two laws operational, but there's a way to transcend and rise above and to ascend out of these. And it's found in Christ. Having that Christ consciousness, that awareness, understanding our origin in Christ. Where does this happen at? It happens in Christ. It happens in Christ. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to look a little bit at how this applies or how we can apply this to our life. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But notice what it says in verse 17. It says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus went about saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is at hand. Why was he saying repent? Religion taught us that it has to do with sin in our lives, that you have to feel guilty for. You have to, they took the word penitence and turned it into something that you have to pay a price, and you have to do something to earn forgiveness and all this, and it has to do with sin. It looks at the flesh. What is the concentration in the religion for? They concentrate on the law of sin and death, the fleshly man. But when Jesus was saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, we need to look at what repent. Repent has nothing to do with a man's sin, with a person's sin, but it means repent. 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 I want us to look at that. It comes from the word penitence, and I've heard this, other people share this, penthouse, penitence. Penitence means a sloping roof, the top. Penthouse means the highest, the rooftop. And it has a part in its definitions with that. So pent means a higher state, a higher consciousness, a higher state. And re means to go back to that higher state. So when we're saying repent, it's saying go back to a higher state. Go back to the original. Go back to the origin, the beginning. So when Jesus was saying, repent, he's saying, arise to a higher state of knowing that my kingdom is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's walking among you. It's at hand. Change your mind. That means to ascend. And of course, I'm going to touch on metanoia. And I'm not going to break it down like we have in some teachings, but it means to change your mind. And that word mind means your consciousness, because your mind is your very thought life. Your mind is that that place of knowing and thinking and dwelling. So when metanoia means to change your mind, your consciousness, the way you think, that dwelling place, back to its origin, to its original state. Now, does that give you a whole new meaning of the word? You probably already know all this, of the word repent. Come back. He's saying, come back to a higher place, to a higher state. When he's saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Christ, that original place, ascend into that higher place of, see, when we talk about Christ, it's a place. It's a heavenly place. It's that glory. But, you know, we think of heaven as the place where there's a bunch of mansions and we go to it and, you know, we're going to dwell in these mansions, but it's more than that even. You know, his way of thinking, his thoughts are above ours. We can't even begin to imagine and think until we get there. Even Peter and Paul and John and all those were like, I'm totally undone when they get a little opening of seeing what it's like in the kingdom. They can't even put it into words. Was it John or Paul? He says, I can't even speak of these things. He says, I can't even speak of these things. He wasn't saying that he shouldn't. He didn't even know how to articulate or put words to what he sees, you know, what he was seeing. But to repent means to come back to a higher place or state. Take the higher thought. Take a higher thought. So when you hear that word repent, it doesn't mean, oh, God, forgive me for our sins. But it's like, change your mind, change your thought pattern, change that which you're thinking and dwelling upon to a higher consciousness, to being in Christ. If we have the mind of Christ, think of that, because how many of us always quote that we have the mind of Christ and we don't even understand what we're saying and we don't know what it means? We lack the understanding and the knowledge of something that we say all the time. But it's that place of, it's that consciousness, that awareness of who you are, of that original state of being, that being in Christ, the fullness, the all in all. I can keep going on with the same old thing. This is how also I ponder and I think and I dwell upon. This is me taking a higher thought when I do this. The word tells us to meditate, and when I'm meditating upon, when I'm repenting, changing my mind and thinking about coming into that place of Christ consciousness, that's how I'm doing it. I'm thinking along that line. I'm thinking, you know, that what does the Christ mean to me? It's that fullness. It's that glory. It's that presence. It's who he was before he even came to the, you know, I'm thinking like that. Therefore, I can be one with that, and I can be who I was before I came. But he's calling me to be Christ-like so I can be beyond that. And when he says in the word, he says, you're going to go and do greater things than me, then that means that if I'm in Christ, then I'm no longer even who I was before I came, but I'm going to be who he is as the Christ. And you see, I can go on and on. And that's how I think, and that's how it grows, and that's how it matures, and that's how you come into a place of repentance, changing your mind. And you meditate along these lines. And you do that for a little while, and you're going to find yourself in a heavenly place. You will shut down the law of sin and death, because then all of a sudden you have entered into the law of spirit of life. And you're going to, that's when you're going to start seeing some things start shifting and happening, and some maturing happening, and that we have to come into being in Christ, that higher state of thinking, that original, that consciousness of Christ, Christ consciousness. Oh, man. So the kingdom or the king's domain is tangible. When we look at this verse in 17, it says that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom or the king's domain is tangible. We can touch it. It's tangible. It's something that we can have, that we can be one with, be a part of, be there, take part of it. It's not for the sweet by and by. It's not after you die and go to heaven. It's something that we can have a part of in our life right now. It's for now. It is open to us right now. When we say, God, open the heavens are open. The heavens are open, and he's saying, I'm pouring out all. Just arise, ascend into this consciousness of Christ. And when you ascend into this consciousness and you're repenting and you're changing your way of thinking and your thought life and your pattern of how you dwell upon things and you think upon things and you speak to yourself and all of this, when you change it, you'll start seeing. Your eyes are going to start being open. You will see that the heavens are open and all in all, the Christ, all in all, the fullness, the glory, the kingdom, everything is open to you. It's available. It's at hand. At hand. And how do we get all this? By repenting. And remember I said it's not about sin, about stopping something, about quitting something. When it says stop drinking, you know, religion taught us, some of them have even taught you can't even come into the church till you stop drinking, stop smoking, you stop having premarital sex, and you stop doing all this stuff, and you start being good, and you start being holy. We can't be holy. You start being righteous. Now, these are things that I heard growing up, you know. We can't be all that, but being in Christ will make us like that. The word says, set your mind. And that word mind means consciousness. When it says set your mind upon higher things, set your consciousness on things above. It has nothing to do with what you're doing. It has everything to do with what you're setting your mind upon. Does that make sense? It has nothing to do with the sin. And I'm not up here saying that you have freedom to sin. We're going to get into that a little further down. We'll touch on that. What I'm saying is that it doesn't have anything to do with it. Repentance has everything to do with setting your mind on things above. Change your mind, change your consciousness, change your heart. As we do that, we are ascending. As we do that, we ascend into a higher state of consciousness. Now, notice that sounds a little New Agey, but you know what? I don't care anymore. I'm going to say these things because how else are we going to become sons of the living God? If we were truly to just getting into and reading Ezekiel and reading some of Jeremiah and you know, some of the prophets of old, the things they done, that sounds New Agey when you think about it. You know, some of their descriptions of their visions and the things they done, and you know, yeah, it sounds pretty sci-fi, don't it? I want to do these things. So as we are doing this repentance, becoming stepping into Christ consciousness, becoming conscious of our original state, then what we're doing is we're ascending into a higher state. Now, we've touched on ascending into the courts of the Lord, and that's part of the reason I'm doing this teaching is because I want us to understand how to ascend. Because I can teach about the courts, but if we don't understand how we can stand in the courts, then there's maybe some place for the enemy to come in with confusion. But when we're doing this, we are ascending. Then the domain of the king is at hand. Can you see that scripture change now? When he's going about saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, when we come into that place of ascension, we've entered in, then the kingdom's at hand. It's right there. It's tangible. We can touch it. We can be one with it. We can take part of it. It's ours. We come into that place of ascension by being Christ conscious, awakened, aware, repenting. It's funny because I'll go around, God, I repent, you know. And the way it used to be is like someone's like, ooh, what you repenting of, you know. But they're thinking of the law of sin and death. I'm thinking of the law of spirit of life. So I repent daily because I want to come into a greater ascension and a higher state of origin and a higher state of understanding in him. It is in this place of ascension that the dominion of the king, the kingdom of heaven, is at hand. When we want to see his kingdom established here on earth, as it is in heaven, let it be here on earth, this is how we can do it. We wonder, how can we establish the kingdom of heaven here on this earth? And that is how we do it. We have to come into that place of ascension so that we are one with Christ, where the king's domain, where the kingdom is, where the fullness, where all of that is. And when we become one with that, that's how we establish it in the earth. Because we are the gateway, releasing the kingdom, establishing the kingdom in the earth. You are setting your mind on things of the Spirit when you're doing this. Set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Romans 8, 5 through 6. Let's look at that real quick. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 6 say, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those that are under the law, a spirit of death, they are setting their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So as we rise up, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has come. For as we rise and we set our minds or our consciousness on higher spiritual, as we ascend upon this kingdom into Christ things, then the carnal will just go away. The law and sin of death will just go away. And this is what I wanted us to look at. When religion cries out that you have to change, you know, you have to quit smoking, drinking, doing whatever they want to say that you have to quit doing, that before you can come in to the church and be a part of the church or whatever, no, we need to ascend into Christ. We need to become Christ-like, awakened. We need to repent and be Christ-like so that when we come into that place of ascension, then the law of sin and death just loses its power, because those who are set their minds on spiritual things will do what? What does it say? When those who set their minds on the things of the Spirit, then God will dwell in them, the fullness, the all in all. But those that have their minds set on the things of the flesh, then they're going to have their minds, they'll be set in those things. They'll be carnally minded and subject to that law. You'll be subject to it if you have your mind set on the things of the flesh. Carnal things, then that law has dominion over you. But if you're spiritually minded, then that law has been canceled. It no longer has authority over you. being in Christ. It will no longer have authority over you. So the law, in other words, don't worry about the sin in your life. Just come. Just come and ascend into Him. Come into this place of repentance, of coming to a higher state of consciousness in Him. And then what this is saying is that the law of sin and death just goes, the sin falls off. The sin goes away. See, we can't quit sinning. But when we come into this higher state of consciousness, of Christ consciousness, of being like Him, looking like Him, smelling like Him, talking like Him, seeing like Him, coming into this higher state of knowing, then sin loses its power and authority over us. Then we're no longer, it no longer has rule and reign over us, over our lives. Like when we were saying at the first, is that we come into that place of liberty. We've come into that place of liberty when that happens. Law of the Spirit of life means liberty. It means freedom. It means being born again. Have you ever wondered, Nicodemus and Jesus had this conversation, what do you mean that I have to be born again? How can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? They had this conversation. But coming into Christ, coming into this place of repentance, Christ consciousness means being reborn. It's a place of ascension. And He said in John chapter 3, and I don't remember the exact scripture, 12 or 13, something like that. He's saying, who was the first? He says, I had to ascend first. I had to be the one to ascend first. And He was trying to explain to you. He says, I'm trying to explain to you spiritual things. And if you can't even understand when He says, I was talking to you about earthly things, how can you understand spiritual things? But that you first have to be born again. You have to ascend. He says, I came and I ascended for you. I was the first of the brethren who came and done this. So it's about being reborn. It's about being born again. That's what it means to be born again. It means more than that. But this is, you know, if we're touching on this, when somebody is truly born again, I want us to just take a minute and look at this, because we see in a religious setting where they have big crusades and they have all these things, and I'm not saying anything against these, because I truly believe people do come into a salvation experience. But you see, they come and they have these meetings, and people will come, and we will have multiple ones, and the same people will come. You'll find the same people coming and getting saved over and over and over, and coming and answering the call of God, the altar call for salvation. Are they truly being born again? Are they being reborn in Christ? In other words, what's not happening is they're not coming into that place of repentance. Because what they're telling them to do is to ask forgiveness for their sins. And they're saying you have to change something to be born again. But as we've looked at here, repentance doesn't have anything to do with a man's sin. It has to do with having a change of heart, changing and ascending into that higher place of consciousness, Christ consciousness. And that is a place of being born again. And when they truly have this experience, then they've been born again and been reborn. And that's just a little side note. You are free to believe as you went and free to go search this out for yourself. Okay? Let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. I guess we're there. Let's go over to verse 19. I guess I'm not there. I'm in Romans. Galatians 5. Let's look at 19. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are, and it goes on to explain, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, and it names all these different things. And if you say, now wait a minute, there's the works of the flesh. There's sin. There's where it says that you know, repentance means you have to, you know, it means you have to ask forgiveness for these things. But notice that it says it's the what? The works of the flesh. The works of the flesh. So I want you to see that also in Galatians 22 it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And it says love, joy, peace, suffering, kindness, goodness, all these different things. So we have two laws that are warring contrary to each other. The law of sin and death and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And then we also have two fruits. The fruits of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. Now the fruits of the flesh are nothing more than the fruit of sin. So when we're saying that sin doesn't have anything to do with repentance, it's because everything that religion says, you have to quit smoking, you have to quit drinking, you have to quit premarital sex, you have to quit doing all this stuff, lying, whatever, you know, they say sin is. I want you to see that these are fruits of the flesh, which are fruits of the law of sin and death. So when we come into that place of ascension into Christ consciousness, what's going to happen? The fruits of your life are going to change. because you're going to become Christ-like. The more time you spend in that place of repentance, the more time you spend in that higher state of consciousness, the more time you spend in that Christ-like thinking in His presence, the more time you spend with the, being one with the Spirit of life, then all of a sudden the fruit of the flesh changes into the fruit of the Spirit. Can you see that? So this is why this is another reason why we can say it doesn't have anything to do with sin. It's because sin is a fruit of the flesh. And how can you stop? You can't have this full-grown tree and pluck all the fruits off and go in and say, see, my tree is fruit-free, but give it a few months and it's going to have some more fruit. Because the tree is still rooted in the law of sin and death. But if you uproot that and root it in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and your roots are established in that, because all of a sudden when you've come into that place of repentance, you have Christ consciousness and you know your original state. You know where you come from. You've ascended into a higher life in Him. Then your roots have been rooted in the river of life. Get where I'm going here? Then you're going to start producing a new fruit, which will be the fruits of the Spirit. I thought that was very good. I was like, wow, God, that is awesome. So when the law of flesh dies, so does the fruit. Everything will bow to the ascended state of Christ consciousness. Everything. And I want you to notice this. Now, religion has us spending all of our time, our energy, our efforts. This is religion. You have to do something to earn it. It makes you spend all of your time and energy and efforts on what? The fruits of the flesh. That's what religion is. When it's actually all about ascending or rising up and coming into that place of Christ consciousness. What does that leave you with? Freedom. Liberty. The law of the Spirit of life. When it says in chapter 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ, and we went to that definition of Christ, has made us free. Has made us free. And verse 13, 5:13 says, for you brethren have been called to liberty. You have a place of liberty in Him. So stand in it. Amen. We can stand in it when we understand what repentance means. When we ascend, well, let's go look at Ephesians 1 first. I don't want to jump the gun here. Ephesians 1. Next page on my book. I don't know about yours. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. I want you to see that it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus Christ is not His last name. That's who He is. It's all that He is. We don't want to go into that definite. Sometimes I find myself when I read it, then I just start going through all of what it means to myself. But that's how I ascend. That's how all of a sudden revelation starts opening up, because when I see it, when I see that word Christ, all of a sudden, and it can happen like that. It's not like 5 minutes of like, Christ means presence. It means all in all. It means, I mean, it's just like, you know, second, it all goes through me. And I know you guys can think that way because our mind is like more than a supercomputer. You know what I mean? It's instant. That's what being in heaven is like too. You know, it's just instant. That's being transcended to a higher state also, because you can just have it all at once. Here's your whole plate. You don't have to take everyone out and read it, and it's that one, and it's that one. It's like, boom, you have the whole download all at once, and you got it all. So notice that he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us with every, does that mean some? No, every spiritual blessing in where? Heavenly places in who? In what? Christ, in Christ. Now notice that it says every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. In where? Heavenly places. Does Christ, part of the definition of Christ, if you want to put a definition on it, which you cannot define it, but if you was trying to define it, would be heavenly places. His original state of being. Who He is, not the man, Jesus, but the glory, the presence, the kingdom, all of this. So He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ consciousness. That doesn't say consciousness, but to be in Christ means you have to be aware of something. Does that make sense? You have to be awakened to. You have to arise or ascend into a higher state of consciousness, of knowing, of believing, of understanding. And all this sounds New Agey, but we're going to go look at another scripture in just a minute that's going to help us get out of that lie. Okay. So into a higher place in Christ. So when we ascend, let's go look at the next scripture. Ephesians, we're still in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Let's start with 15. It says, therefore, I also, Paul was praying, verse 16 is, he does not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, notice, the God of Jesus, the Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of knowing him. Remember, to be Christ conscious means you have to have a knowledge and understanding. It comes by wisdom. It comes by revelation. Verse 18 says, and this is his prayer. He says, I'm praying that the eyes of your what? Your understanding. The eyes of, and another translation for that is the eyes of your heart. The eyes of your mind. Your consciousness. Your knowing. Remember, consciousness means that state of knowing your origin of who you are. Are we kainos beings? Are we mere human beings? I'm a supernatural being. I'm a kainos being in Christ Jesus. And that's in Corinthians. If I feel led to go over there, we'll go over there. I don't know. So he's saying, I'm praying that the eyes. Now, is he talking about your physical eyes? No, he's talking about your spiritual. There is a spiritual thing. It's the law of the spirit of life. There's something happening here. And he's praying urgently. He says, I want the eyes of your understanding. So to be Christ conscious, there has to be an understanding. And what is he praying? That they will be enlightened. Now that is a New Agey sounding word, to be enlightened. They go around talking about we are a higher, you know, we're enlightened to a higher degree of awareness and whatever. Paul was praying that the eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your consciousness, because he said that word is translated mind. It means the eyes of your mind, the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. That what? That you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So when we come into this ascended state of awareness, of Christ consciousness, of knowing who we are, of knowing where we're seated at, of knowing that we're in a heavenly place, that opens up to us. Get this. It's going to open something up to us, our inheritance. When you come into this place of having the eyes of your heart, your consciousness, your understanding, enlightened, what does enlightened mean? It means that you come to a place of knowing, a place of understanding, to be conscious of, then you're going to know what your inheritance is. You're going to see, your inheritance would be open to you. What did we just read a little bit, or study a little bit ago about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is at hand when we come into that place of ascension. That's the kingdom, our inheritance. The hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, all of that opens up to us when the eyes of our heart are being enlightened to that, come to that Christ consciousness, that place of knowing everything. He says, notice in verse 3, he said, everything. There's nothing more. There's nothing more to be had. Because why? Our inheritance is there in that place, in the kingdoms, in the king's domain. There's nothing more. We already have it all. When we come into that place of enlightenment, we will see that we have a full inheritance. When we come into that place of a higher consciousness of the mind of Christ, because if we truly had the mind of Christ, we wouldn't be asking and begging and pleading and whatever, because we would know that we have an inheritance and we would see that inheritance and we would just be able to take part of it and pull it into us and become one with it. And in that place, in the kingdom of heaven, that's why he's saying, I want it as it is in heaven, let it be on earth. Because in heaven, there's not sickness, disease, lack, there's not all this stuff. And he's saying, it's at hand. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change your mind, metanoia. Come to a higher state. Rise up to a higher state in him, a higher place of consciousness, a higher place of knowing and understanding, so that you can see your inheritance. We already have it. He says every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. is in the heavenly places in Christ. What are we conscious of when we are, depending on which law is operation in our life, spirit of life or the spirit of life and death, what are we conscious of? I just want to have us just think about that for a moment. If we're living in lack and poverty, and I'm not saying I've come out of this, but this is why I'm repenting daily, because I want to come into this state of a higher consciousness. And I see myself maturing and growing to them. And that's what it means to become sons of God. You mature. Your children didn't be born one day, and the next day they're a teenager, and the next day they're moved out of the house and grown up mature, and the next day, you know, there's a process. And the same thing in the kingdom of heaven. We have to mature and grow into it and walk into it and learn. And that's why he's our Heavenly Father. You know, he's helping us walk into these truths. Holy Spirit shows us the way, teaches us, instructs us. And he says we don't even have to have man teach us. Isn't that awesome? That the Holy Spirit will teach us how to do this. So call upon it. If you don't understand, you're not getting it, call upon the Holy Spirit. And remind him. He said, you said that you would teach me and show me how to walk. You would show me the things of the Lord. And you would show me the things of the kingdom. And you would show me the things of Jesus and reveal the truth and the mysteries of the kingdom to me. He will show you how to walk in this. So if we're walking in poverty and lack and all this, we're still walking in a consciousness of the law of sin and death or the flesh or corruption. But if we're walking in the spirit of life, then we have a consciousness of a higher consciousness, Christ consciousness. And the more we mature, we start seeing that. We start walking into that. Where has he blessed us with every spiritual blessing? In heavenly places. You can see where I get ahead of myself, and then I have these notes that I come down to, and I'm like, all right, we already covered that. It's okay. We don't have to die and go to heaven. It's right now. Religion teaches us, or an understanding of religion is it's in the sweet by and by. And I can't wait to go to heaven because we have all these blessings. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. What good or what point is it to die and go to heaven and get your healing? That's for right now. What good is it to die and go to heaven and have financial prosperity? That's for right now. That's for right now. These are things that we are to have. These are part of the spiritual blessings, part of our inheritance that we're to partake in right now. They are found in Christ consciousness, in that heavenly place, in the mind of Christ, having the mind of Christ, being one with the mind of Christ. And Paul was crying out, open their eyes. Open your eyes. That opening happens through repentance. As we're doing this, as we're changing our mind, changing our thought, because remember when he says the eyes of your heart, we're not talking about these physical eyes. So when he's saying open your eyes, open your heart, open your understanding, he's crying out and saying be awakened, be made aware, become conscious. He's talking about a consciousness. Your consciousness or your conscious or that which you think of is, and we've even said imagination, that religion is given imagination a bad name, but that thing that you think upon, you dwell upon, you're perceiving, that is your eyes of your heart. And we need to have that changed to a higher state of thinking and consciousness. As we ascend into this Christ consciousness, we will see it begin to change because we're starting to take root in the spirit of life and we're being uprooted from the spirit of life of sin and death. In John chapter 17, this makes me think of that union in Christ, recalibrating ourselves back with him, that prayer of recollection that we've heard about of the saints of old where they said, I am in you, and you are in me, and we are one. This is what he's saying. This is what having the mind of Christ means. I am in you, you are in me, and I am one. Sometimes when I'm struggling with my thought life and I don't know what else to say, I'll find myself just saying, I'll start with, I am in you, you are in me. We are one. And sometimes I'll repeat that over and over until something breaks, and then I'm able to go on to another thought, a higher thought of what it is to be Christ-like, what it is, what the Christ is, if I'm trying to define Christ. In other words, I'm trying to give words to being Christ, to being Christ conscious, and then I'll start to, you know, speaking those things. And I don't have to say them out loud, because sometimes I'm laying in bed and my hubby's next to me snoring away, and if I talk, I might wake him up. But I can have all sorts of heavenly encounters while he's over there sleeping, and I pray blessings on him while he's sleeping. But I find that my time, some people are early morning hours. Miss Lydia over here, boy, she gets up 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 or whatever, you know, and she can have time with God. Mine is the evenings, late night, you know, and I can find myself going into the kingdom in those times. Everybody's made up. So don't get into condemnation or, you know, feel bad thinking, well, I don't get up early in the morning, because I used to beat myself up trying to get up early in the morning. I couldn't make myself do it. And God's like, just rest. This is, you know, roll with who you are. Unless he tells you to do it, then be obedient. But, you know, so I'll just roll with what works for me. Amen. That's right. So looking back again at verse 18, it's saying the eyes of your heart being enlightened, that you may know, the eyes of your heart and your understanding or your consciousness will be, he's praying for them to be enlightened to a higher place of consciousness. Dictionary.com said that was a spiritual revelation. Now when we have spiritual revelation, reason I want to say this is because sometimes we think, I don't know what that means, I haven't encountered that, or what do you mean when you're talking about that? I want us to, how many of you have maybe been in the Word or been in prayer, been in a place where you're seeking God and you find yourself, especially it can happen by reading the Word and you get this revelation and all of a sudden you just have this, whoa, you know, just something comes over you. You can be in a time of prayer or whatever and you just feel this, wow, and just this washing over and just this, you know, and sometimes you can ride on it for days or weeks or hours or whatever and it's just like, whew, you know, revelation came. Rhema opened up to you. But spiritual revelations happened to you. What happened was you entered into Christ's consciousness. Enlightenment was happening. Christ, you entered into a place of Christ consciousness. Does that make sense? So if you want to, I wanted to say that so you could connect with a grab, because I believe every one of us have had a time of revelation in our life where you have read maybe scripture and it just like, boom, just wow, God. And you felt this inner, I mean, sometimes you just feel this whoa happen inside of you. I don't know how else to explain it, but like, wow, that was just awesome. And you feel like you're on a high or something, you know. I don't know how else to explain it but that either. You know, that was enlightenment, and that was Christ consciousness. You ascended. That was ascending. Now, we want to get this super spiritual, whatever what we definition of what we think ascending may be. And sometimes we want to think, well, we're just going to whoop and go, you know. It's like, I'm not saying that don't happen, but the norm would be it's a spiritual thing that's happening because we want to think with our earthly perspective, but you, if you've experienced this, you have come into a place of ascension. You ascended in that time, and supernatural spiritual revelation was enlightened to you. You ascended. Now you can go beyond that, and you can get to a place where you're like Paul and something that he says, I don't know whether I was in my body or out of my body or whatever. You can be translated in the spirit, and you can have that. That's different things, but we're talking about coming into this ascension of Christ consciousness right now. And it's you can go into the kingdom. You can do things in the kingdom. I'll just leave it there. But I wanted you to connect. I wanted you to give something to connect with to say, I have done this and what it felt like to do it. Okay? Hopefully, I believe each one of us have had that. I do. And I just wanted us to look again. And as I was going along, I thought, I wonder if, you know, maybe not everyone understood what consciousness means, but it is that awareness of one's own existence or your origin. And I shared that earlier. So notice that Paul, he's not praying for you to have inheritance. This is good because sometimes when I used to pray this prayer over myself daily and sometimes twice a day, and I was, and my prayer, God, I don't understand this verse, but I'm going to just pray it over myself. I'm going to declare it over myself. And I thought I was praying for the hope of glory, praying for inheritance to come to me and praying for all this stuff. But Paul's not praying for you to have your inheritance. What is he doing? He's not praying that. He's praying that you would be enlightened. Enlightened. That the eyes of your heart, your consciousness would be enlightened. That you would be aware, awakened to. That you would do what? Ascend. Or to know. Ascend into consciousness or knowing of your higher state of origin. Because in your higher state of origin, you have your full inheritance. Notice it said, every spiritual blessing is in heavenly places in Christ. He was praying that your consciousness would be enlightened, your awareness that you would be awakened to and know your higher state of origin. Your higher state of origin is the fullness. It's that place of inheritance. It's a place where the hope of glory is at. Notice that the word says that Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, one in Christ. I'm in you, you are in me, and we are one. That oneness, that union, that Christ consciousness, that's the hope of glory. That's what repent means. Boy, that takes the stigma off repent, doesn't it? When I hear somebody, especially religious teachings, or if I go someplace where they're still, you know, bound up in a lot of religion, and they're crying out that repentance and come to the altar and repent of your sins and what, you know, I'm like, wow, God, I see where I've come from because my consciousness has been awakened to a higher state of origin of where I'm seated at in heavenly places in Him. It's in this place that the kingdom is at hand. Let's go look at verse 20. It says, which, all of this stuff, he's saying, we'll go ahead and read 19. Our place of inheritance, also what is exceeding greatness of His power toward us. Notice this is part of what our higher state of origin is. There's an exceeding greatness of power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, verse 20, which He worked where? In Christ. All of this works in Christ. It's worked in Christ. I would circle that word if you don't have to, but I'm just like, all of this is worked in Christ. When He raised Him from the dead, seated Him at His right hand, in where? Heavenly places. See, Christ knew who He was. He knew that He was seated in heavenly places. He knew He was one with the Father. He knew He was the kingdom coming. When He says, repent because the kingdom of God is at hand, He says, Christ is among you. I am here. The I am. The kingdom, the heavenly, the presence, oh, the glory is walking among you. Paul wasn't praying for you to know your inheritance or to have it. He wasn't praying for you to get it. He's praying that you be enlightened to know your state of origin. It's there. It's there for you. That will make you pray different, believe different. Now, I'm not saying don't pray, go and say, God, heal me. Or what, you know, this changes even the way I pray for other people. It's like, that's when I hear people say, you know, I don't go in there and beg for God to heal somebody. I just lay on and be made whole. Because they know they've arisen, ascended into a higher state of consciousness in Christ, and they know their inheritance. That all of the glory, the exceeding greatness of His power, the resurrection of power of Christ dwells in them. And they operate out of that. Christ consciousness, walking in the mind of Christ. Man, we could just stop there again. I'll wrap it up just a little bit and then we'll maybe pick up next week with some more. Let's see where I left off. So we were on verse 20. 21 says, it's far above what? This Christ consciousness, this higher place in Him is far above all principality, all power, might, dominion. It's above every name that is named. So it's above sickness, disease, lack, all of these things, that all the circumstances in our life, this Christ consciousness, because it says it's worked in Christ. All of this works in Christ. All of this is being Christ conscious is above all that. Not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. I have to change the way I think about that. When we get to heaven, when we become Christ conscious and we're living out of a heavenly mindset, because religion is teaching us that it's in the sweet by and by and it's something in the future. That's future mindedness. I don't know what you want to say. But see, we're living for now, for the kingdom to be established now. So even in the age to come, this is going to be the law of spirit of life will always be, will always be. So, being in Christ, notice that this works in Christ, and being in Christ is above every other thing. We said sickness, poverty, principalities, all these, every name that's named, it's above all of that, and it's to what? To the church. It's to the body. If we look at verse 23, it says, 22 says, and He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. We are the church. We are the body. Verse 23 says, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all and all. Fills all and all. That's what Christ is. He's the all and all. He fills all and all. He's everything. Every spiritual blessing. Everything that you have need of. The presence, the glory, the fullness. He is, Christ is all and all. And He fills it all. And it's to the church. Which is His body. Exactly. Exactly. We're going to go look at Ephesians 2, chapter 2, real quick, and we'll just sum this up. Verses 4 through 6. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. It's right there. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, all of this is because of his great love for us, which he loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, when we were under the law of sin and death, he made us alive together with who? Christ. He made us alive together with Christ. Right there is the ascension. He made us alive together with Christ. That is the ascension right there. By grace you have been saved. And verse 6 says, and he did what? He raised us up, caused us to come into a place of ascension in him together, and made us sit together. That's ascension right there. Made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Christ. He made us raised up, sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That is ascension. And we're going to stop there because there's a whole lot more I want to share. And we'll cover that next week. I know, that's what I'm saying. This week, just practice repentance. Don't say, God forgive me for being a bad person. That's not repentance, okay? Right, of course. Absolutely. Absolutely, you can do that. But true repentance is that we're changing our mind. Meditate upon it. Remember, the word says to meditate upon the word. So that meditate means to think upon, to dwell upon. It's part of your imagination process. What you're seeing, what you're dwelling, what your heart is pondering and stuff. Meditate on a higher consciousness of who Christ is. You know, you can even, you have to come into a place of revelation to understand what Christ means. I haven't read Kenneth Copeland's book on the Christ, but he wrote a book about Christ, which means the anointing. And if we think about it, even if we are to operate and move out of the anointing, we tend to think of the anointing as something that, well, it comes from the spiritual realm. So it also, the Christ is the anointing, because it was the anointing upon Christ. Jesus is the anointed one from heaven, you know, from his original. He Christ meaning everything that he was before he came. He was the anointing. In other words, the anointing means that ability to release the kingdom. If you're laying hands on somebody and they're receiving health or a healing or something, you're releasing the kingdom on them. You're establishing the kingdom, because in the kingdom, there's not sickness or disease. Or you know, if you're praying for somebody for prosperity in their life and they receive a blessed financial blessing, you're releasing kingdom on their life, because in the kingdom of heaven, there's not poverty or lack. See what I'm saying? So the anointing is Christ. And I'm thinking I want to get that book and read it, but I also have so many books I want to read. But, you know, do a little research on what Christ is and think about the things of Christ, you know, and dwell upon those. Think upon come to that higher state. What is your original origin, you know? When we look at the things that Jesus done, we can read Matthew, Luke, and John and look at the miracles that he done. That's his place of origin that he's operating out of, because there's not, you know, sickness, disease. He walked on water. He done all these supernatural things. He turned water into wine and all this. That is the miraculous. That's the anointing. That's his presence. You know what I'm saying? These are the things that you can dwell upon. That is repentance. So if you meditate upon repentance, what you're doing is you're changing your heart. You're changing your consciousness. And if your mind wants to go back to thinking life and death stuff, carnal nature, corrupt things, which we have been set free from because he has given us the law of life, which is liberty. He says, stand in your liberty. When we first started, stand in your liberty. Don't give it up. You know what I'm saying? So that's what you're doing when you're doing this. You're standing for your liberty in Christ. And we'll come back. If you have that meditation in your heart through the week, when we come and touch on the next part, it's going to just pow, explode. That's what I'm believing. Because this is part of what we do. So when we come to that higher state of consciousness, it's going to turn from asking. Because in Ephesians 1, he says, every spiritual blessing. And Paul wasn't praying that we would get our inheritance. He is praying we'd be enlightened to our inheritance and who we are. We'll quit asking and we'll start. We can just thank it, speak it, declare it. Get what I'm saying? So as we meditate upon this, we're changing, we're reprogramming, we're becoming reborn. Even at this place where we're at in our spiritual walk, we can be reborn to a higher level in Him, to a higher consciousness. Well, Father, we thank You for this truth. I ask, Lord, that this seed just matures, grows up in us. Let it be a seed that will flourish. I ask that it be watered through the week. Holy Spirit, just prompt us to water this word that has been planted, to water this seed that's been planted in our heart through repentance, rising and ascending into a consciousness of You, Father God. Let us recognize, as we even go into Ephesians and we read this prayer of Paul, that we recognize, Father God, who we are. We recognize that state of origin that we come from and that You have called us to be Christ-like, to be one in You. And I thank You, Lord, that You awaken us on deeper levels, that as we're switching out from under the law of sin and death, and we're contemplating and thinking and dwelling upon and pondering and watering this consciousness, arising and ascending into a Christ consciousness, Father God, that we're uprooting from the law of sin and death, and we're rerooting ourselves in the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And I thank You, Father God, for the freedom and the liberty that we will begin walking into of knowing our original state in You, Father God, of knowing who we are and the inheritance that is available to us, that we will begin walking into the understanding and awareness of every spiritual blessing that has been made available to us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I thank You, Father. I thank You, Father. It's rooted in our hearts in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.